All right, what's going on, y'all? If I haven't met you already, I'm Charles McKnight, the other pastor here at West Charlotte Church. And we're going to continue this morning working through the second half of the book of Acts. And so far in this second half, we've seen Paul and his ministry partners step out on their first missionary journey. And we've seen through their example that serving as faithful gospel witnesses in this world can often come with great challenges. Challenges that, as we'll see this morning, can sometimes leave us a little exhausted and weary and in need of some recovering encouragement. Speaking of recovering, I saw she just popped up on the screen. I was talking to my sister, Kendra Kialastri, the other day about workout recovery. Those who don't know, Kendra is a member here at West Charlotte, spends much of her time homeschooling her four children while also being a student herself. But she's also recently somehow found the time to become a certified personal trainer. So shout out to Kendra for that. And so it's my new go-to fitness expert. Again, we got to talking last week about workout recovery, about the necessity of giving your body what it needs to properly recover from a workout. Now, I kind of fell off the workout game late last year, but I'm starting to get back on it. And I've learned over time when it comes to recovering from workouts, that not only do I need to give my body what it needs to recover, basic stuff like, you know, proper nutrition, stretching, good night's sleep, all that kind of stuff. But I've also learned that, at least for me, it's as much of a mind thing as anything. Had to learn how to deal with the potentially discouraging psychological impact of waking up sore in the morning, right? After those workouts, of looking in the mirror and not yet seeing the full results that I'd like. I've learned that those things are the main things that get me to fall off faster than anything. So I've had to learn to remind myself on those days when my body is sore, that soreness, that pain I'm experiencing is actually a sign that my body is rebuilding itself stronger and with more endurance than before. And I've also had to learn to remind myself that when I look in the mirror and I see that I don't quite yet have that, you know, Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger kind of physique quite yet, I've had to learn to remind myself that that's okay. Not to get so focused on how far I am from whatever fitness goal that I miss the small progresses and little health and fitness victories along the way. In other words, I've learned that in order for me to stay encouraged and strengthened, to hang in there and to keep on keeping on with my working out, that I have to keep both my workout pain in perspective and my workout victories in view. Pain in perspective and victories in view. And our passage this morning teaches us a similar lesson about our faith. Now, where our text picks up, Paul and his team have just muscled through an extended season of working out their gospel witness in some extremely hostile locations and situations. They had been chased out, even stoned out of town after town by angry folk that were so angry at the gospel disruption that Paul's gospel message was causing to the status quo in their communities. Through it all, God proved to be with them, keeping them and enabling the gospel to take root even in those hostile places. But after nearly 2 years of having to endure so much struggle on the mission field and feeling like they've accomplished the purpose that they set out for on this trip, Paul and his team decide it's time to go ahead and head back home for a while. But as we'll see in the beginning of our passage, instead of taking a much quicker and safer route straight back to their home church in Antioch, these already tired and wearied missionaries decide to take the long way home. They decide to travel back to the same way they came, back to the very same towns that they had just been run out of. These courageous gospel witnesses decide to creep back into the lion's den for one main critical purpose: to bring some much needed faith, strengthening encouragement to the new believers in those towns that they had to abruptly and prematurely leave. And so I imagine that Paul and his team, who again were themselves tired and wearied from all the hostilities they themselves had experienced, I imagine that they may have been thinking, if we're feeling like this as more seasoned Christians, imagine how those brand new baby Christians must be feeling, right? Having to still live in those communities so hostile to their new faith. I'm sure that they're tired and wearied. I'm sure that they're afraid and confused about how these tribulations they're experiencing fit in with their new faith. Surely they are in need of some faith strengthening, encouragement. And so that's why Paul and his team selflessly and at great risk to their own life elect to take the longer, more dangerous route back home so that they can stop by and visit their new Christian brothers and sisters once again, bring them the faith, strength, and encouragement they needed to keep pushing forward in their faith. And so this week, as I marinated on the circumstances that we'll see here in our text, I thought about how so many of us too are in special need of some faith, strengthening encouragement these days. It's almost cliche, probably now an understatement, to say that for the past year, we've been living in some exceptionally difficult times. Pandemic living, about sick of that. Racial justice fighting. We've endured one of the most contentious political seasons in our country's history, with the presidential impeachment trial just wrapping up yesterday, right? And doing all of this while at the same time we've been trying our best to live and to speak God's truth in the midst of such hostile circumstances. And that's to make no mention of all the other regular issues and problems and frustrations that many of us have been dealing with lately. Frustrations with our friendships, with our romantic relationships or lack thereof. For many of us parents, frustrations in our parenting. Some of us, frustrations with our parents. Frustrations at work or with your health for some of you. Frustrations for some of us with the fact that just so much about our life right now just feels like it's still on hold. And talking and praying with many of y'all over the last several months, even as I'm looking at the screens right now and some of y'all's faces, it's clear to me that all of this together has left many of you, along with me too, a whole new level of accumulated weariness. So weary, some of us, that even if we are starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel, we almost feel too tired to be able to continue to move towards it. Just like the body gets wearied and in need of recovery after a hard workout, so too sometimes our souls and get weary and be in need of a little recovery, in need of some faith strengthening encouragement. And so the good news I have for us this morning, especially for those of us who are right now feeling the weight of weariness, good news I've come with this morning is that the Lord has not left us without a recovery plan. A recovery plan similar to the one I talked about earlier, putting our pain in gospel perspective and keeping gospel victories in view. The faith strengthening encouragement we need to keep on keeping on and living out and maturing in our faith. And my hope, as I try to unpack all of that from our passage this morning, is that it would not only bring you individually some faith strengthening encouragement, but it would help us as a church family learn how to better encourage and be encouraged by one another in this way. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 28. Look there with me. It says that when they, again, talking about Paul and his team, when they had preached the gospel to that city, the city of Derbe, and had made many disciples, it says they returned. They went right back again to those hostile places of Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Now, we need to be clear here. There's two Antiochs that will be talked about in these chapters. The Antioch where their home church is not the one they're talking about here. This is another Antioch where, again, they had been chased out from. And it says that they went back to those hostile places on a determined mission, verse 22 says, of strengthening the souls of the disciples in those places, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying to them, teaching them that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, and with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then it says in verse 24, Paul and his team, they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And it was from there, verse 26 tells us, that they finally sailed back to their home church in Antioch, place where they had first been commended through the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the folk in their home church all together, it says Paul and his team declared to their church family all that God had done with them and how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples, their church family there in Antioch. This is the good and timely word of God for us this morning, brothers and sisters. And let us praise God for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word this morning, and I pray that you would use my words on this word to bring at least somebody on this Zoom this morning a little faith, strengthening, encouragement, and that you would use it to help us as a church learn a little better how to encourage one another. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Again, from this passage, I want us to see this morning that there is powerful faith, strengthening encouragement found when we can put our pain in gospel perspective and keep gospel victories in view. First, putting pain in gospel perspective. Again, verse 22 tells us that Paul and his team return back to those same hostile towns in order to strengthen the souls, it says, of these new followers of Jesus, who encouraged them to continue in the faith. Now, as I thought about it this week, there's lots of things Paul could have said to encourage these folk. You might even think about the kinds of things you might want to hear to encourage you in your faith right now. But what Paul offers them here as the main focus of his encouragement seemed a little strange on the surface. Out of all the truths of the gospel and what it means to follow Christ in this world, the truth Paul concludes would be most critically encouraging to these folk is to tell them at the end of verse 22 that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. In other words, Paul's main faith encouraging and strengthening word is that their suffering and pain is par for the course. That it's a necessary part of an all-inclusive package deal of discipleship, and therefore, by implication, it must be anticipated and expected if you're going to live as a faithful gospel witness in this broken and wicked world. And this truth, this sobering truth, is one Paul probably picked up from what he had learned that Jesus had told his first disciples in John 16, 33, that Pastor Drew read earlier, that in this world you will, Jesus says, have tribulations. But in those tribulations, Jesus says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. In other words, brothers and sisters, for the believer, there's always a hope to be had in our pain. Jesus and Paul together were giving new disciples a heads up that if you encounter some suffering, if you encounter some tribulations and pain on this path of discipleship, don't freak out like something has necessarily gone wrong with your faith. As a matter of fact, oftentimes those pains are signs that something might be going real wrong with your faith, and that the pains you feel are often the wrongs of this broken and evil world bristling against it. And Jesus and Paul together try to help these folk to put their pain in gospel perspective. Because they knew that pain interpreted from any other perspective would be one of the main things that would tempt folk to tap out of discipleship and to ultimately fall away from the faith. And I believe that's also why you'll be hard pressed to find a single book in the New Testament that does not at some point try to help us as believers to keep our pain in proper gospel perspective. Passages like 2 Timothy 3:12 that remind us that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we might be able to comfort others in their affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted by God. James keeps it going. James chapter 1, verses 2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Paul in Romans chapter 5, 3-5. More than that, he says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for those who are called according to his purposes. And just a few later, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I keep going this morning? 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 12-14. Beloved, don't be surprised. It's a fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. It's so something strange were happening to you. But instead, rejoice, because insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, you will also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. 1 Peter 5:10 promises that after you have suffered a little while, that the God of grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And my all-time favorite, Revelation 21:4, tells us that when Jesus finally returns, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, because he says the former things, all the former sufferings, all the former trials and tribulations, all the former stresses and distresses and pains of this life will have passed away. Send that light. In the light of all those gospel guarantees that Paul felt he needed to risk his life again to go back to these folk, to begin helping them to put their pain in that perspective. Because he knew they were going to need to get that perspective quick if their faith was going to survive and thrive in this broken and hostile world. And I don't think it's a coincidence that right after Paul gives them this quick pain and perspective lesson, that it tells us in verse 23, that Paul then went ahead and helped those churches to particularize, to become official church bodies equipped with leaders. And at least part of what that communicates to us this morning, brothers and sisters, is that this practice of putting and keeping our pain in proper gospel perspective is mainly a group activity. It's intended to be done especially in the context of church community. And it's here that I believe there's an invitation and a call for us this morning. A call for each of us here in this church, or if you're visiting, a call for you in whatever church you decide to become a member of. A call for us to grow in our willingness to be honest and to be vulnerable enough with our brothers and sisters, to let them see our pain. And with that, a call for each of us to grow in our willingness to be brave enough to enter into the diversities of our brothers and sisters' pains in order to help one another place and to keep our collective pains in proper gospel perspective. And I can tell you, we need this, especially right now. I can tell you there's a lot of accumulated pain that so many of your brothers and sisters in this church are carrying around right now. Now, I know practically speaking, COVID has made it really difficult for us to have all the spaces and opportunities we really need, be able to love one another as a church in this way. One regular place that we do have right now for something like this is in our neighborhood groups. Those groups are about as good of a space as we have right now. Burdens and pains to be shared, for them to be helped into proper perspective, especially in those groups through praying for one another. And so part of what I want y'all to begin to discuss today in your neighborhood groups, notice the assumption is you're going to your neighborhood groups today. So yes, if you're assuming I'm saying that, that is what I'm saying. So assuming that you're going to be checking out a neighborhood group today, what I want y'all to do is discuss how your group might be able to continue to grow in creating more space and in developing more trust with one another, to be able to better encourage and be encouraged by one another in this way. Faith strengthening encouragement by putting pain in gospel perspective. And also by keeping gospel victories in view. The end of our passage tells us that Paul and his ministry team eventually do make their way back to their home church in Antioch. And apparently they recognize that their work of faith strengthening encouragement wasn't quite done yet. Verse 27 tells us that one of the first things they did when they arrived back home was to gather their church family together for a little testimony service. Verse 27 says that when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared, it says, they testified to their church family about all that God had done with them. And it didn't tell us exactly what they said, but I imagine that they testified about all the ways they had seen God use the simple message of the gospel to bring sinners, Jews and Gentiles, from spiritual death to spiritual life. I imagine that they testified about all the ways that they had seen God protect them, all the ways God had kept them, how God had rescued them from the hostilities that came their way. They testified to their brothers and sisters about all the ways they had seen God at work in and through their lives. They took the time to share these gospel victories in order to bring their church family a little faith-strengthening encouragement. Recently, I've begun taking on some new leadership responsibilities with one of the agencies in our denomination that's focused on the recruitment and the care for Black leaders in our denomination. So one of the things I now do is to help facilitate some monthly gatherings via Zoom for a few cohorts of young Black pastors in training from across the country who are looking to find their way in this denomination. And when I met with one of these groups this past week, I told them that our discussion prompt for the day was a simple one. I asked them simply to tell me something good. Tell me how they were seeing God at work in their life and in their ministry. And so as these brothers, it was about eight of them, one by one began sharing some of the most encouraging testimonies. One brother testified about how God had been meeting him in a special way, as he's been more consistent with his personal devotions this year, helping to pull him out of the depression that he had been in and that we had been praying for him about. Another brother testified about how God had provided some unexpected money to help him to be able to continue in his seminary studies that he thought he was going to have to drop out of. Another brother testified about how God had given him the courage to call out some racism in the church where he happens to be interning. And another brother testified about how God had finally broken through to his rebellious teenage son, bringing his son to faith this month and to repentance. And as these and other testimonies began to flow, I noticed that so did the tears in my own eyes. There was something almost inexplicably powerful about and faith strengthening that came from being pulled out of my own myopic view of what God is up to and being able to enter into the broader and more diverse gospel victories that my God is winning in the lives of his people all over the place. I needed that special faith, strength, and encouragement that comes from the testimonies of others. And I left that time desiring to help our church to more regularly be able to experience that same kind of special faith, strength, and encouragement that comes through sharing with one another testimonies of how God is at work in and through our lives. And again, at least for now, most accessible and regular space that we have in the life of our church for this kind of special encouragement is in our neighborhood groups. So again, today, as you meet, I want you to be thinking together about how you might be able to carve out, to create a little bit of space, if you aren't already, folk, to tell you something good, for you to be able to share and to hear the many testimonies of the gospel victories God is winning in one another's lives. And faith strengthening encouragement by putting pain in gospel perspective and by keeping gospel victories in view in the context of our fellowship with one another. And so as we leave this morning, considering how we as a church can more effectively encourage one another in this way, I just want to remind you in closing that as we do so, we're doing so simply following in the footsteps of Jesus himself. Scriptures teach us that during his earthly life, Jesus perfectly kept his pain in gospel perspective. Jesus perfectly kept gospel victories in view, perfectly and ultimately doing both at the same time when he was able to endure the pain of the cross because of the ultimate gospel victory that he knew that pain would win for you. An ultimate gospel victory that we only experience in part right now, but that we will experience in fullness one day when Jesus returns, when he will come and claim that final victory, and when he will erase all pain forevermore. And it's with that hope that we can here in the meantime help one another put our pain in that ultimate gospel perspective, to help one another to especially keep that final gospel victory in view. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for this word this morning and how you've used it to begin helping us as a church to learn a little better how to encourage one another in our faith. So Holy Spirit, help us to do it. Help us to help one another put our pains in gospel perspective and to help one another keep gospel victories in view. Lord, please help us to do this. You know that so many of us are especially in need of these encouragements in our lives right now. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.